Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This just in, Patrick Manelli.
Patrick Manelli, the longest tenured player in Chicago Bears history.
I just want to thank the Bears organization for an incredible 16 years.
Score Football, pre- and post-game show co-host.
73 points in the last five quarters. 73 points. I mean, this is the NFL. This isn't like playing a, you know, an FBS school and an FBS, whatever those, you know, the different sub-league. Just to say it bluntly, the Bears suck. It's terrible. The way they look the last five quarters, that's bad football. You just lost a division opponent by 31 points. That's a bad football team.
He even has a signature beer.
Long Snapper IPA. The can, the artwork's me long snapping a ball on top of an El Camino. I have an El Camino, so the artwork's great. The beer's great.
Patrick Manelli on The Score.
We go live to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. He also joins us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score, Patrick Manelli. And I don't know why we all paid attention to that exact comment you made on the post-game show about FBS and then the sub-leagues, but that got to me. All of it got to me, and I know you guys were a flagship on the Fox dealing with it as well, but... a couple days removed now after Sunday, Patrick, how do you feel about, I guess, A, those comments that you heard in our open, and then B, the entire thing?
The same. I'm just kind of finishing up the All-22 right now, and it's really depressing. And it's obviously depressing because I've been doing this, I've been retired 12 years I've been doing radio, and I feel like I'm doing the same show every weekend. And it truly is depressing. You know, playing for the Bears as long as I have. As long as I did, and as much as I love them and it's in my heart and all that kind of stuff, to come out and say they suck, that hurt. It was hard to say, but that's what I felt. And watching the tape, that's what it looks like. I mean, it's everything I said there is still how I feel. It's still how the tape looks. There's a lot of times you say on Monday, the tape is not as bad as it looked, or it's not as good as it looked. However, the game went, it was bad. You know, you guys have been talking about it all morning. They can't get to the quarterback. Jalen Johnson's out now. TJ Edwards is out now. I just feel like we've done this the same thing over and over. Guys aren't playing up to their expectations. Guys aren't paying up to their pay. It's just over and over. So it's not any better, guys. Not at all.
Patrick, I appreciate your honesty and your transparency. So I'm going to ask this question because I think it gets right to the heart of the matter, because I think Ryan Poles is to blame for all of this. How many elite players, now that Jalen Johnson is out for who knows how long, how many elite players are there on the Bears?
I mean, if you look at resume, right, Joe Tooney, are you talking how they're playing right now? I would say zero, but Joe Tooney is probably the most decorated player.
Okay, outside of Tooney, though.
Yeah, nobody, right? Nobody. Nobody's, like I said, nobody's playing up to their pay. Montez Sweat, great. He came in and we came up with this Tez effect. Where is that? I want to see that. There's still some one-on-ones. He's not getting on there. There's one play I was just watching that Sam Laporta came in motion to block Montez Sweat, and he almost gets there. They hit Jameis away. I think it was the play where T.J. Edwards hurts his hamstring. If he gets there, maybe T.J. Edwards doesn't hurt his hamstring. But there's just plays that they're not finishing. You're getting paid to win those battles. You're getting paid to make a difference in the game. And Marshall, there's nobody on this team that I think is an elite player. I mean, Jalen Johnson was our number one guy, our Pro Bowler. You know, there's just nobody there.
Ooh, Pat,
Ryan Poles is right. It's depressing because he's 3-17. When that stat came up, Dustin handed the piece of paper to Mully, and I need to think about it. He's 3-17 in his last 20 games. Ugh. I mean, that's inexcusable. That's unacceptable. We've been praising him the last couple of years, saying that, okay, he messed up and didn't fix the O-line last year. Well, he fixed the O-line. They're still not playing great. So all these things he's done so far, it's not working. So a lot is on Ryan Poles. A lot is on the players. But he's in charge of the players, right? So I'm discouraged of what I've seen in 2 weeks. I'm really discouraged.
Robbie, let's start him on 10 milligrams of Lexapro. Let's get that Patrick Manley. I'm hearing some warning signs, some red flags. Let's start it off at 10, then we'll work you up to 20, and I think that will put a dent in your Bears
this
depression.
This is a therapy session right now, though.
Yeah, no, it is, man. I need it. I'm taking my Calm, magnesium, all that stuff. Anything to just get me kind of relaxed. It's aggravating, guys. It's not fair for the city. You know, there are kids that are, 12 years old that have never seen, a run of a winning Bears team. Think about that. So there's kids, they're 8 or 9 year old kids. I think I was talking to Olin, I think his daughter's 9 or whatever. It's like, Dad, why are you such a big Bears fan? Obviously, you played, but they're not good. Nobody, you think about a 12-year-old has not seen a history of a good run of Bears.
That's really bad.
Football.
That's so sad.
That's a valid question when you put it that way.
Oh, man.
So 2018 was the year.
There's people my age and younger that have 8-year-olds, and they're like, Dad, why are you watching? Mom, Dad, why are you watching the Bears game?
All right, Lito, let's start it at 20. Let's start 20 milligrams. Never mind, Robbie. So never mind.
That's 10. How bad it is, guys.
Yeah. No,
you're
not
wrong. You've got to coach your kids now. We're the Lions. We've become the Lions.
Oh, no.
We're becoming the Lions. I talked about that. It's depressing.
I'm not writing that.
Oh, God. Well, Robbie's not going
to
write that down.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be Bears fans.
I do have a specific question for you. I'm losing. Okay. I'm losing the Montez Sweat battle here, which I'll lay out again in a second. We can do that all morning for a while. But I really want to know specifically from having watched the tape. What did you see on the 3rd and 1 and the 4th and 1? Whose fault was it that the Bears were not able to get 1 yard on the offense? And then we'll get back to Montez Sweat.
I mean, that's the O-line. You've got to be able to move the pile, right? I mean, they went to the right the first time, and they're trying to go to the gap, to the empty side between the shade and the 4 or 5 technique, and they're trying to get in there. They're not getting enough movement. They tried it to the right. They tried it to the left. And to me, that's simple football. And Olin and I talked about it in the post game. I don't know if we talked about it on air, but, okay, Caleb hasn't probably done a lot of quarterback sneaks. That's not an excuse. I'm sorry. That's simple football. That's 101. That's just taking a snap and running forward. Or going to the left, going to the right, and getting a half a yard. And they couldn't do it twice. That, to me, kind of sums up my quotes there at the end of the game, that if you can't get a half a yard with 2 plays and a simple quarterback sneak, quarterback center exchange, and just diving left or diving right, that says a lot. But it's on the O-line, in my opinion, Mark, that you've got to get enough movement. I thought Caleb did a fine job of moving forward, but there wasn't enough space for him to fall forward for half a yard.
And then the thing on Sweat, just really quickly here, is what I'm saying about he has not been good. There is no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. I guess my question to you is that I asked Marshall and Layla is, do you think he can get it back on, or is he done? Is he cooked? Is he just not going to be the Montez Sweat ever again that he was 2 years ago?
I hope not. I don't know. I'm not inside of I don't know. I'm not inside of his head. He has all the tools. Grody, you see him in the locker room. That dude's a man-child, right? I mean, he looks different than a lot of guys that are NFL players, and you'd hope he could transition that to the field. But my thing is, I just want to win the one-on-one battles he should win. Recognize when it's happening. Yes, is he getting all the attention? Sure, he's getting a lot of attention, but the great ones still win those, right? They know how to get through a chip. They know how to get through a double team. They know how to get to the quarterback. Is it there? I don't know. And I just hope so, because right now without Jalen Johnson, TJ Edwards, it's on his shoulders now that he's got to be the guy to step up to change the game. He's got to be the guy to get the sacks, the pressures, the tip balls, or whatever you can do from that DN position. So the team is going to be leaning on him defensively a lot.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Patrick, I also know that not everybody was able to see the postgame show on Sunday. It is available for people on YouTube if they want to check it out. Strongly recommend. So I want to rewind to even before the game began on Sunday. What did you think when you saw the inactives list?
As far as Jalen Johnson playing and TJ Edwards playing?
No, just the, Ozzie Trapillo not playing, Shamar Turner not playing.
Oh, the second rounders. Yeah, see, that's interesting to me, too, that Yeah, you have to. Yeah, you drafted. If you drafted a second round pick, he should be over Theo Bennett. He should be on the active roster. He should be the one getting reps. But does that mean you missed on Ozzie Gipello? I don't know yet. Is it early? Shamar Turner, does he need to play now? I think you should. I think you're not seeing enough pressure. But here's the other thing, Layla. We're not at Hallis Hall. We're not in meetings. We don't watch all of practice. You don't get to see practice tape. You don't get to see, are they truly ready? My guess would be they are not, and that's why they are not playing, and that's why the other guys have earned the spots. But, again, to go back to Marshall and your question about Ryan Poles, that's an indictment on Ryan Poles. You draft a person in the second round, they should be getting snaps. They should be playing. They should be contributing and not wearing sweats on Sunday.
The evidence is mounting, like piling up like receipts. But unfortunately, at the same time, because of the recent contract extension that was given out, so is the pile of money that Ryan Poles is receiving from the Bears. And that's where I have kind of a conflict. Patrick Manley joining us, as he does every week, to discuss his favorite team, the Bears, here on Raheem.
They are my favorite team. They're just not good.
Listen, okay, let's go forward. Because here's what I want to know. I've been having trouble sleeping at night because this really happened to me last night.
Jesus, we need to get pills from Marshall to Robbie. Write this down.
I'm trying to figure out.
Takes a lot of magnesium right before bed.
I'm trying to talk myself into a way that the Bears can beat the Cowboys besides, say, any given Sunday. How do the Bears, as currently constructed, and knowing who's available, who's not available, how do they beat the Cowboys?
Caleb Williams.
Okay.
I like
offense,
that. Okay.
They got to score points. And I will say this. If the defense didn't play as poorly as they did last week and give up 52 points, I think we'd be praising Caleb and the steps he took from week one to week two. I'm interested to hear more of the quarterback gurus talk this week on the station about evaluating him. Just what I saw, I saw what I wanted. I saw him execute from the pocket. I saw him get to the top of his drop, deliver accurate balls. I saw him kind of read the field a little bit better. I don't know if they simplified the reads for him or whatnot, what it was supposed to be for him. But I thought he played better. So if the offense can do what they did with Rome's, 128 yards, unfortunately had a couple drops. You always got to bring up the negative as a player. You always got to know you could do better. But offensively, I think they could put up points if Caleb continues to grow like he did from week one to week two.
We are going to have Tim Jenkins on later on today.
Yeah, I'm interested to listen to him.
1 o'clock.
Yeah, 1 o'clock. But just like through your eyes, Pat, what did you see specifically that looked better about Caleb this week relative to last week?
Conviction, confidence, accuracy. Just guys right out of their break, you know, delivered right on time, right in the right spot. He took the check down quickly when it wasn't there. I thought his pocket presence was a lot better. I thought he stayed in just a little bit longer, but I thought also the protection was a little better than week one. Minnesota has a much better D line, I think, overall than Detroit. But he looked more comfortable. I think I talked about at the beginning of last year, he looked nervous and he got more comfortable as the year went along. And I think he's back to that. He looked more comfortable in the pocket in week two. And he just looked like he had conviction. He looked like he was confident and comfortable.
We're talking to Patrick Manley, the former Chicago Bear, also part of our pre- and post-game coverage on 670 The Score. And the segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Patrick, I don't want to go back to, say, the Montez Sweat battle necessarily, but when Ben Johnson...
This is Barry Grody. Come on. We need to hold on.
I'm for
this
that.
This would be fantastic.
But when Ben Johnson talked about Montez Sweat, he did mention winning the one-on-one battles. Yes. And I feel like that was something that wasn't unique to him in the past few games we've seen. We've seen a lot of one-on-one battles go in favor of the opponents, and that speaks to talent and execution. What do you think about that aspect of the past two games?
Yeah, he's not doing it. And what I do love about it too, Layla, is that Coach Johnson's calling players out. And he's not doing it like in a mean way. He's just stating what the obvious is, what we're all seeing on tape, what we all saw on Sunday to what we all see on the All-22, and then what is being probably or most likely is being said in meeting rooms. So I like that. It's a breath of fresh air. It's a way to coach your players through the media a little bit. But it's just obvious. He's not winning. He's not getting there. And I love this coaching staff holding these guys accountable. There's nothing wrong with stating the obvious to us as a fan, to us as the media and all that, to get your message across to the players.
Okay, Patrick, I have to ask the obvious question because special teams. Should Cairo Santos be hearing footsteps?
I mean, come on. You can't kick that ball out of bounds. About the Jake Moody.
Yes.
When he kicked it out of bounds on that first kick, that's when I'm like, all right, that's why Jake's here. So I scratched my head when I saw that. I think Jake Moody is a 74.5% field goal kicker. I did some research with some people and found out he's kind of changed his steps. He's trying to work on kind of become more of a pro style kicker. And as far as his approach is, I mean, approach is like how you kick and all that kind of stuff, your steps and all that technical stuff. So maybe they're bringing him in knowing that he's working on that and can become better, but to bring in a kicker and take up a roster spot on the practice squad, it's kind of shocking to me. To me, there's something going on behind the scenes, Marshall, mm-hmm. and I don't know what it is. That would be the only reason why you would do that. I thought maybe it was an injury, something like that, but I don't know. I'm really interested. I just scratched my head a lot when I heard that. I'm like, it makes no sense. And I talked to some other coaches, and they don't understand it either.
Yeah, no, I can't really. I'm trying to come up with some sort of reason for it. I mean, other than they just want to cover their asses, basically.
But don't forget they extended him, too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He's a captain.
But here's the other thing, guys. I'm talking about numbers on practice squad. You have all these injuries, right? You need more bodies out there for practice. So the starters aren't taking scout team reps, or they're limited reps, so they're ready for Sunday. That's, I know it's one body, but that helps a lot. I remember, like, when I was a different practice squad numbers when I was there, but there were times I had to step in as an O lineman, a practice squad O lineman, because we had guys down so much, and it sucked for me because I didn't like it. But I'm not giving the same look that somebody else can during the week. And what's the kicker doing? He's standing over there for 15 minutes they practice, and the rest of the practice they're not doing anything. So there's a lot that goes into it for me as far as making your team better. I don't know how that's making your team better.
Why are the penalties? Another 8 penalties.
That's on the players, man. Mm. That's holding each other accountable. I mean, you started off the second half with an offside. You started off the game kicking it out of bounds. That's another reason why I just kind of got to that point a little bit after that of watching the All-22, and I'm like, we started the second half with a penalty.
We're 3 and out. I mean, 2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks in a row, yes. With 3 and out. Penalty, but 3 and out.
Right, but that's on the player. To me, that's on the player. Okay, the coach can coach, and they can yell at you and talk to you and point it out and make you run laps or run sprints or all that. But that's player to player. You've got to have the concentration. You can't let your teammates down. And a lot has to do with concentration. Jumping off sides, knowing the snap count, paying attention to understand, that's important, obviously. You can't do that. But that, to me, is just – that's on the player. I never blame coaches for that kind of stuff.
That's interesting because our default is always to blame the coaching.
No.
Yeah.
Let's just pay attention. Know the snap count. I know, okay, you're running out there as an O-lineman. They might be – you've got motion, a lot of motion going on with Ben Johnson's offense. So you're seeing the mic point might change. Things are changing. But you're a professional. That's your job. Don't jump off sides.
Ah, strong words from Patrick Manley, and valid, because we want to talk about the penalties later on our show. Just really quickly, too, after seeing, say, did you catch any of the Sunday night game and watch the Vikings and Falcons?
I didn't. I did not, but was kind of shocked to see the – well, I did not, but just seeing the score and kind of what I read this morning.
Yeah.
It's more an indictment on the Bears, right?
Well, and they
what I said in the post game.
Yeah, the Falcons sacking J.J. McCarthy 6 times, too, was something I was curious if you had seen.
No, I did not get to watch it, unfortunately.
Well, that's okay. I think you know what I'm saying.
I don't
want to
watch it
stack.
Because I know exactly what you're saying, and that's just discouraging, and that's going to be a big problem. And I'm wondering if Dennis Allen, you know, he's a man-heavy kind of coach. Is he going to go to more zone, or is he going to have to? With the depleted secondary.
Well, once you start doing that, though, that sounds like you're putting yourself in a position. It's untenable because that's not what he does.
Now with a different personality,
and
he doesn't have the bodies.
He doesn't have the bodies.
You can't force it.
Well,
yeah.
The one thing you said earlier, which is interesting, is Kyler Gordon. Do you move him outside?
Yeah. I say give it a shot. You know, at this point, right? He might be the most qualified out of everybody you have on the bench.
Yeah, best players in the best position, right? Is that the guy that you could put out there and because Tyreek Stevenson had a rough game, obviously. Amon St. Brown was great. I mean, they put him in some tough situations. But if you've got to have two good corners, and we're going to be down to 2 and 3, and then could Kyler Gordon be a 2 or a 1? That'll be interesting to see what they do with him.
FCS and FBS, here we come,
yes,
baby.
Whatever it is. Let's not be an FBS school.
Division 2. I knew what you were talking about. NAIA, yeah, just, let's get weird.
There we go. Yeah.
Patrick Manley, thanks so much for joining us. And this is a reminder, by the way, that you can check out Patrick Manley along with Olin Krutz and Mully as they get you ready for Chicago versus Dallas on Sunday from 9 a.m. to noon. You get 3 hours of them on your local Ford dealer's pregame show right here on 670 The Score. And then immediately after following the game, Patrick, Olin, and Mully will have instant reaction on the postgame show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. Thanks to Patrick Manley for joining us. And Ian Happ, we have a lot of questions for Mr. Happ today. Could they be celebrating later in Pittsburgh?
Dun, 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 dun.
Uh-huh. We're going to talk about it next on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.